Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm Atera, your host. And we're going to continue today's show with talking about angels. I had so many emails flood in about more questions, and I thought I answered every question there was on the board about it, but I had so many more questions about angels. I thought we would continue that discussion, and I want to hopefully give you a little more how to connect, how to know and talk to your own angels. I think it's so important to have your own connection. I really believe from my work, from doing spiritual work for over 25 years, that it's important for you to have your own connection. It's not just certain chosen people that can commune with angels, guides, and masters. Everyone has that potential. And so I encourage you to take that step to start developing your own personal relationships. One of the questions that came in that I thought was really interesting is, why are angels appearing more often now? It seems like, you know, we will see them in the media. We're seeing more things on TV. There's a lot more books on angels and things. Well, I think part of that is, I think September 11th was like one of the biggest cosmic wake-up calls, and it shook everyone to the core of their foundation of their belief systems. I think that it sent them to question their religion, their faith, angels, prayer, and the United States government. I think all of those things, our safetiness, our you know, in America we have always thought we were so safe. And this action that happened on that day really sent us back to really praying more than we've ever prayed before. And I think prayer is so important and so connected. It's like a 911 call to an angel when we start praying, because most of the time we're asking for God's help in prayers and things. And so, you know, it's wonderful to connect, and I think often we can connect to our angels through prayer. So, and I think it's very interesting that the scientific community is beginning to connect prayer, and I believe angels, although I don't think they've done any documented studies on the effects of angels in our lives yet. But they certainly have begun to do hundreds of scientific studies documenting healing and the benefit of prayer. And I really want to state that, you know, Columbia University has done some wonderful. They've conducted in 2001 studies with patients and prayer and things. So really, certainly look to science now for some of the documentation on how prayer and how communication with, you know, angels, guides, and masters do affect us and our healing. I also think that we are seeing more angel visitations or information about angels because we have a spiritual need to contact something and beyond our understanding, beyond what we think we can do in our humanness. And so we are beginning to see just around us, when we are speaking of the angels appearing, I mean much more than just personal encounters, but we are hearing reports often of angels that are helping people, rescuing people, cars hanging on the cliff to get rescued. But angels also, at a whole different level, you see people collecting angels. You see people wearing angel pins. It's now becoming a mainstream interest. And I really think part of that is also, not only did we send out 911, you know, spirit come and help us, but I think we also have found a different faith, a faith in knowing that we're not alone, and we're strengthening that our consciousness, our vibration, our human vibration level is going up. And as we become more spiritual, as we make the decision to have more conscious connection, more conscious responsibility to connect with God and angels and guides and masters and spirit, what happens, I believe, is that we shorten the distance between those realms and ourselves. So it's easier for us to start our own communication with the angelic realm. And it's important for us to know that, you know, it's just a conscious choice. I actually was reading for a client who was an incredible, it was a male who was an incredible skeptic. And when I began the reading, he was like, you know, oh, I'm not so sure what I believe, da, 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 da. And I said, I love healthy skeptics. Because they are really looking, they want to be validated. They want the information. It's a difference between somebody who's totally closed-minded is going to say, I don't believe any of this. You know, you can't make me. You can't convince anyone of angels, guides, or masters, or spiritual intervention to someone who is totally closed-minded because they're so shut off. They have sucked their energy in so close to their body, and you just can't open that door. It's like having your foot on a door and trying to open it. It can't happen. So as long as you're open-minded, then you have absolutely incredible potential to start seeking that communication, which really changes one's life. There's the nice thing, too, is that there are so many really absolutely fabulous books available now. And if you are interested, please make sure you check out bbsradio.com and then go to our link for angelscribe.com because I will have a list of the books and information that are available because there's more beyond what I'm going to be able to give you in an hour here together. But one of the things I do want to mention is Edgar Cayce actually talked about angels in some of his readings, and I found that very fascinating because Edgar Cayce was called the Sleeping Prophet. He is a man who went into a sleeping trance and actually did readings, mainly health readings, but he did do other kinds of readings, Akashic Record readings, but other kinds of readings. But I did not know until a few days ago when someone emailed me, and I've been involved with the ARE, Association for Research Enlightenment, the Cayce Foundation, for most of my life. I found one of Edgar Cayce's books when I was in my 20s and said, thank you, God, there's someone else like me that gets information. Although I think Edgar Cayce was certainly more advanced than many, many people today. Someone was kind enough just to send me a little information, and I love that Cayce did a reading for his wife, Gertrude, and mentioned that guardian angels can come in many forms, and I think sometimes people think that angels only come in an apparition, and you see them with their wings, or you see them as humans, or illuminated, and or they're just, you know, they show up in a crisis time, and that's the only time you see them, and that's not true. Cayce talked about them coming as in non-physical forms as a sense or odors of a wind, a wave of wind, or a absolute feeling of absolutely being wrapped in total love and a warmth around a person. Many times angel can influence, influences are not physical, but come in a form of a voice or a reassuring sense. And so it's true that not every time is it an absolute physical manifestation. He also stated that everyone came in with at least one guardian angel. And in my work, I have always found that true, that most of the time you come in with at least two. So nobody comes alone. You have backup. You just have to learn to ask them. And again, it's that little free will clause. You know, you can have 1,000 angels at your command, but if you don't use that little thing called asking, that you give them permission to intervene and work in your life, they're on hold. And, you know, I really don't think you should wait till the car's hanging on the cliff to decide you might need some help. So tonight I'd like to, or this afternoon, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about communicating or how to begin having a dialogue or communicating with your angels. When I say we, the angels, because it's interesting because when you work with spirit, often you'll hear people who give readings and things say, we feel, we know, we sense, because it becomes a partnership and you forget that the other person that you're reading for doesn't understand why you're using we. But it's true. Most of the time, spirit talks in we because usually there's an entourage. There's more than one that are working with you. So one of the best ways to begin communication is to make it, you know, first of all, talk to your angels. Talk to them and ask them, say, angels, guides, and messengers, I ask for my highest good to have a communication with you. I encourage you to surround yourself with the Christ light or white light. And the reason most people encourage people to use protection is this, that if you are starting to communicate with spirit and you're a beginner, you have to know to set intent, and that means to ask to go to the angelic realm for the highest good. If you're just sitting down and saying, I'm going to commune with any spirit, it's important to know that it's a cosmic law, that energy cannot be destroyed, it just changes form. And so when we transcend from this physical life, we will change our energy from this vibration to a non-physical vibration, a spiritual vibration. And just because you pass over does not mean that you instantly become Mother Teresa and all-knowing and all-forgiving and work out everything. In fact, it's actually through spirit communication proven that you take your personality and your self with you, your knowledge and your personality and your experiences with you. So just as there are Mother Teresa, Gandhi, and Edgar Casey, all these wonderful people that you could communicate with on the other side, there also are spirits who are still working on getting and recovering, getting things right and recovering from their issues in this lifetime. For example, Hitler is hanging out somewhere in the etheric realm. So when you start to do communication with angels, guides, or masters, it's really important to begin to set intent, ask for the highest good. And that's why when I begin teaching anyone in a class or anything, I ask them to start with their guardian angel, because angels are absolutely divine. There's no negative angels. In all the years I've done this work, I've never run across any negative, mean, evil angel. So when we start with the angelic realm, you know you're not going to get a lower vibrational entity mixing with you or confusing you. The reason I think it's important to use Christ consciousness or any you could use Buddha consciousness if you want to. Any enlightened being's consciousness is like setting the energy field. It's like having a clean area around you. It's like setting a magnetic field that only the highest vibration can get to. Because the cosmic law is like attracts like, not my law. So if you're setting for the highest vibration, that's what you're going to attract. So that's the first thing that you do, set intent and ask for the highest good. Then it's important to just sit down and take some deep breaths. Get calm. And it's a kind of a form of meditation. What you're doing is letting all the things that have bothered you and the mind chatter of the day fall away. So you take a few deep breaths and you just get calm and let all that, the woulda, shoulda, couldas, what you didn't do. And at first, you know, you're going to get, oh, the dishes need to be washed, the dog needs to be walked, you know, whatever it is going to cross your mind. But you just kind of like don't own that and let it float through. You know, it's really important not to have, I really suggest when you're trying to do this the first few times, not to have music on, not, you know, don't have cell phones, don't have any interference. The quieter it is, the better it is for you to start getting communication. The other important thing is try not to be where there's computers or anything with electromagnetic fields. I think they kind of mess with the vibration. So I encourage you to be in a space where you're kind of away from all of that. So after you kind of get calm and let all the tension, let everything kind of melt away from your body and get in that state of just the quietness, and it'll take a while. It doesn't happen overnight. There is no just add water metaphysics. I know everybody wants that. Everybody wants to go take a workshop and in 2 days become, you know, what it takes most clairvoyants and mediums 30 years to do. It does not happen that way. And it doesn't happen overnight, really, usually, to get a sense of your angels. It's going to take practice. It's just like learning your ABCs. You did not learn them the first time. You drove everybody crazy with A, B, C, D, F, G. And also, if you remember, they were probably over the board for at least 4 years. So angel communication is very much like that. It's going to take practice and a commitment, because at first you have static or debris between you and that realm because you haven't even been connecting. So you are adjusting your vibration and they are adjusting theirs. And then it will become so natural after you have practiced it for a while. Just like now, most of the time you don't really think about, you know, ABCs. You're writing the word. So you take those nice deep breaths. And then I encourage you to journal with it. But sometimes for the beginning, it's okay just to sit and see what comes in. And what will sort of happen at first, it may kind of sound like, and you'll then hear maybe one word in there. And it's okay. So when you hear that kind of staticky, almost cell phone sound, just ask. Ask them to clear it. Ask it to become more clear. And it will slowly start to become more clear. And you will start to get 3 to 4 or 5 words and write those down. And I don't care if it's talking about something at work, if it's talking something that seems mundane right now, just still write it down. What will happen is it'll start to have its own beautiful etheric rhythm to it, and you will start absolutely having connection and communication. Now, what will happen when you do this and you set this, even if you do it only once a week, you write it with your angels only once a week, but if you commune with them the rest of the week, say, you know, if you're going to work or coming home and it's at least 10 minutes, what will happen is driving is a natural form of meditation. I hate to say that it's true, but it is true that when you drive, sometimes you get in a natural form of meditation. So what happens is just talk to your angels, just like they're sitting in the seat next to you, okay? Because nobody's in the car, and nobody in the car doesn't know you're not singing along with the oldies. So just talk to them. I talk to Don Salas. Dom, I call him all the time. And so I talk to him in the car, you know, all the time. I talk about, you know, what I'm doing, what does he think about something, whatever my question is. So on the way to work, you talk to your angels. And on the way home, you listen to your angels. What will happen is you will start getting repetitive signs. They love to use numbers. You'll see 111s, 444s. You will see other forms of signs. It could be feathers. It can be a lot of things. So you start getting confirmation, and it may be words from your written time with your angel. So it's really good to have that written journal, because you can go back and then add the other things that happen during the week. So it's a form of practice. I want to share with you, I would like to share with you in the next 30 minutes, also some true stories about angelic intervention and things that have happened, because angels use everything that is in our realm to communicate with us. Nothing is limited. And the problem is we just have tunnel vision, you know, and select hearing, just like we do with our significant others. And so we have to open up to all the things that are possible in the universe when we start communing with angels, because we expand our vision. We really, as humans, get very limited in what we think or see or perceive. And so that mind limitation, we miss a lot of great experiences from the cosmos, because we are so focused on our wah-eh, our 1-800-WAS stuff, and our poor me stuff. So the more you work with the angels, the less you will fall in those times of, you know, feeling in poor me and depression and fear. Because when you are in angelic vibration, you feel so loved that you burst at the seams, and you want to share this love and this experience with others. And so you really lose that need to be stuck in the other stuff. So I encourage you to keep experiencing this. I would love to share with you, this is a true story. I have changed the names because the clients asked me to, but they gave me permission to share with you this incredible story. I had been reading publicly probably about 10 years, and I had a call by a client named Karen. And Karen called me, and she was quite beside herself. She really called because her niece was sick. Her niece, Sue, was sick. And Sue was about 7 years old. And she was very concerned. Her niece had become sick very suddenly, was in the hospital, had been in the hospital for about 5 days. And the doctors had done a lot of tests. They absolutely could not come up with what was causing her to have a fever and be, you know, throwing up, just very, very ill. And they had done, you know, about every test you can do. They had tried everything, and she was actually getting much worse. She had actually started to go into a coma. And Karen was saying, you know, I'm appealing to you because we've tried everything, and I just thought maybe you would have something for me. And I'm not a medical intuitive, but I read energy, and I told her what I thought, you know, what I saw in the energy of the child and how I felt about that. And then the angels intervened, and they said Karen could help her. And I was stunned. I said, Karen, the angels say that you can help this turnaround for Sue. And she said, well, what can I do? You know, tell me. I'll go there. I'll do anything that the angels ask. And I said, they say that you are to see her as healed and pray for her. And I said, I've never said this to a client before, so I'm really nervous about this, but I trust that there's something. They say that there's a, you know, this incredible karmic connection, and that you need to ask her higher self to accept the healing of the angels and to pray for her, and that her condition could be changed. Well, Karen was not very satisfied with that answer, I can assure you, but there were so many other things in the reading that were correct that her mind was open to this, and she says, well, I've actually been praying, so I think that, you know, I don't know what else to do. I said, well, why don't we pray a little differently? I said, why don't you, you know, ask your angels to go to her angels and to ask for, you know, as many angels that can attend, healing angels, and to do, just keep the faith and have the faith that the angels say this can be changed and that you are part of the key. And she said, well, I don't have anything else, other hope, so I will certainly try what you're saying. So she hung up, went back to her life. 2 days later, I get this call on my answering machine. Karen had become sick the next day. She'd went to work, and about noon, she got sick. So she went home, and she said she felt so bad, like she had the flu, and she just felt really awful. So she just, you know, got undressed, crawled in bed, and she was laying there, and she said, you know, sometimes you feel so sick, you don't want to watch TV, you can't read, but you don't feel like you can go to sleep. So she says, I thought I would lay there and pray for my niece. So she started praying for her niece. And she said she prayed there about 40 minutes, praying in deep prayer and meditation, asking the angels, asking for a sign. And then she fell asleep. About 5 hours later, she woke up. And when she woke up, laying on the pillow next to her were three red feathers, just like someone who walked in and laid down these three long, about 3-inch red feathers just laid on her pillow, and she was stunned. She got frantic, excited, and she called her sister, and she said, oh, my God, I just had this most amazing thing, and her sister said, wait a minute, I want to talk to you. About 2 hours ago, 2.5 hours, maybe 3 hours ago, Sue's condition started to change for the better, but I didn't call anybody because the doctors aren't very concerned that it won't keep doing it. Because she says, they haven't changed any medicine. They don't know why all of a sudden it just seems to start turning around. And the fever's going down, and, you know, all of her systems are starting to come back online. And Karen goes, I know why. I had this experience. And so she related the experience to her sister. The amazing thing is now Karen lives alone. She didn't have any animals. So she knew it wasn't the dog or a cat that brought the feathers in. So she was just so ecstatic. She knew that her niece was going to be better, and she left this incredible thing on my answering machine. She had to go to work the next day. She went to work the next day, got off early, drove 5 hours to where her niece was, got there. Her niece was actually awake, talking to her parents, and everyone was just could not figure out exactly what had happened. But the most amazing thing was that in her room was several flower arrangements, but in one of the flower arrangements there were three red feathers, and no one could figure out who sent that arrangement. So it was one of those amazing stories where obviously the angels wanted to absolutely validate the truth that prayer works and that their angels did attend. And my understanding is that both the niece and the angel, the aunt have both kept these incredible three red feathers. And so I hear stories that are just amazingly dramatic like this. So please, if you have an angelic story that you want to share with my audience today, please call 1-888-268-4313. It's important that people share their stories because it gives hope for other people. Because our analytical mind is, when we have something amazing happen, you know, if it's not as fantastic as the three red feather story, but if it's perhaps seeing an angel cloud at an opportune moment. I've had so many times that people tell me stories that they have been at funerals, really grieving for someone they've lost, and looked up and saw an angel cloud, that these signs are very, very important. And to discount them, I really believe, is just our ego mind that works overtime. So really, you know, pay attention to these things. Mary Ellen, Angel Scribe, and I are very attuned to this, and we really pay attention to a lot of these kinds of things. And often on the website, she will have pictures of angel clouds, because there are a lot of places, and it seems like when she writes a story about them, boom, then we'll get lots of sightings. So it's important to acknowledge these kinds of experiences. But I have had I had a client in Texas. In fact, I call her my Texas angel, and her name is Brenda Darling. And she has had so many amazing feathers, because she had a reading by me, and she said, "Okay, I'll try this," and I'm going to say, "Okay, angels, I want to know about this." And she said it became almost hysterical that she would have feathers. Just, she had this incredible collection of feathers from her angels answering her. And she would just, you know, she said, "I think I plucked my poor angel featherless because I wanted so many signs." And she said, "So now I've outgrown asking for feathers, and I've learned to acknowledge and have the time to communicate." And it's true. I mean, they really go out of their way to let their presence be known. So don't, you know, don't doubt, but be open-minded, and you will have wonderful, wonderful experiences. I really love that when Forrest Gump movie opens, you see this incredible feather just floating down towards him. And I really think that, you know, that particular movie is such a metaphysical teaching, to have faith, to know that you can overcome situations. And I think we in the United States are actually, I think most people with any religious background kind of connect prayer and angels. And I think that is a way of raising the vibration and changing our energy. So certainly there is a correlation there. Some more of the questions that I was asked was, what is the difference between an angel and a guide? And I answered this last show, but I think it bears repeating, and that is that angels have never done human. They never left that divine spark of God, that God energy, lived lives, have been born and died. I don't think they have ever even taken on human form in other dimensions, because every time I've asked, they are always very adamant that they have stayed in their natural state. Now, it does not mean that they cannot actually...
Akira?
Yes?
We have a caller on. I'll put them on.
They looked like, what they sounded like, what their messages were, who sent them. It was so beautiful. And you made angels real to me, and that helped my belief.
Well, a few years ago, Mary Ellen, Angel Scribe, did manifest an experience with cancer, and I did go down and stay with her. And one of the things that happens is, you know, because it's my norm, I forget it's not everybody's norm. So, I was laying in the room with her, and, you know, when you have that kind of verdict, you get, you know, absolutely in a tunnel of terror. And she would have actually experiences where she'd go, and she would actually physically shake because she would be so terrorized by this diagnosis. And so what would happen is that she had let a lot of her readers know that she was experiencing this and to pray for us. And what literally happens is... prayers came in for her as if you had strung little pink hearts, like those little pink candies you get at Valentine's Day, as if you'd strung them on strings, and they would come in looped in this you know, kind of misty cloud thing and come into the room. And then angels would come in, and sometimes they would be singing softly, sometimes they would be carrying prayers. And so there was this whole amazing adventure in the etheric realm, and I've seen this also when I've gone to hospitals, that, you know, there will be when you go to a hospital, one of the things that happens for me is I really take a lot of angels and my guide with me, and I really, like, sort of wrap myself in energy because, you know, no dead people are hanging out at the cemetery, guys. They're in hospitals because that's where we're passing away and transitioning, and they get scared and they get stuck there. So when you go to a hospital, you sort out, you need to go back to your body. You need to go to the light. You need to go deal with things that are unfinished. And then there's tons and tons of angels there. So there's this interesting entourage of angels. And when I was sitting in the waiting room, and Mary Ellen did have to have surgery, when I first went into the hospital, it was very weird because behind me was like this conga line of angels. And I thought, what is that about? You know? And
well,
then I realized...
Tell the people, too, that on the Angels and Miracles, Miracles newsletter list, we had asked people to start praying. I think it was like 1 o'clock on a Tuesday, and then that's when they started to show up.
And that's exactly what happened. And I thought, well, what is that about? Because they weren't just my entourage of angels. It was like all these angels, and they were just glued to me. And where I was going, it's like I was their beacon, you know. And it was because Mary Ellen had we had sent out a letter to please pray at her exact time of her surgery. And so this Congo line of angels was really all those people who were praying and sending their angels. And I find that so amazingly reassuring because to know that I can ask my angel or an angel from the angelic realm to go to someone else to be nurturing and caring for them and literally have that happen. And really, truly, when Mary Ellen was ill, the room would be so busy, I wasn't sleeping much anyway, but boy, why, you couldn't sleep because it became so, so busy.
It was so funny because we were in twin beds in the same room because we'd talk all night long, and that way my husband could get a good night's sleep in the other room. And you would get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and I'd just be kind of in that semi-awake sleep, and I hear you go, ooh, I told you, don't ever do that. And you said there were so many spirits in the room, just like Whoopi Goldberg and ghosts, you were walking through them all. It's so funny to hear you shivering.
It's true, because, you know, I actually, in my work, in my real life, I have like a no-fly zone, a no-bother-me zone at night now because you don't sleep. Because spirits, angels, guides, and masters, especially in my early years when I was working with clients, that, you know, I pray for my clients, and they come the night before. They're people who wanted to talk to them, or they're angels, and I go, like, listen, I'm human here. I need, you know, 8 hours sleep. Can we talk? So now I actually have from 11 o'clock to, you know, about 7 in the morning is a no-fly zone, and I get to sleep, unless there's some tremendous, you know, experience going on in the world or something that is connected to my family. Certainly, then there'll be an interruption, but really, truly, I don't have just a revolving door. And people often ask me that question. You know, am I disturbed all the time? Or do I, you know, just walk by somebody and get stuff? And it's not like that for me, and I don't think it's like that for most clairvoyants. We learn to turn the volume down, to have some human time and not have to be on all the time.
You know, Tara, one thing that I found very fascinating was you said that the angels came during those few short weeks that the colors of them matched my favorite colors. Could you expand on that?
It's interesting often, and I think people should pay attention to sometimes you'll feel as if a blanket or something's been put over you, or the blankets on your bed may feel all of a sudden a little bit heavier. It's because the angels do come sometimes for healing, with healing energy, and it will be like as if you have taken all the fireworks in the sky on New Year's and woven them into sparkly blankets, and they literally put it over us so that we can absorb whatever color we need for healing. So sometimes they're purple, sometimes they're pink, sometimes they're gold. Whatever color your auric field or your energy field may need to facilitate your healing, they will infuse you with that. And so you can call in healing angels. I mean, they're, you know, they have their own hierarchy over there just like we do here. You know, if you have your car breakdown and you need a mechanic angel, you can call. Or a guide that's worked on cars before. Ask and spirit will bring them to you. You know, in all the universe, as many multi-talented people as we have here in our realm, we have that many more on the angelic realm. So there's all these incredible opportunities to call in the spirits, the angels that you need to help you and facilitate your
One
life.
Thing that was fascinating is you go, oh, they're going to lay like a green blanket on you or effervescent pink one. Then you go, oh, mine's yellow or, you know, or orange. And even though we had practically terrorized insomnia, within about 5 seconds, we'd both be sound asleep.
Yeah, it's really that they know what we need. You know, we don't get it. And I think especially when you're in that much terror, it's even hard to calm your mind. And when you're with someone who is, like, in hospice or very, very ill, the angels are so comforting. I mean, you'll see angels stroking a person's hair, holding your hand, having energy pouring into you. They'll be holding your hand, sometimes have their hand on a loved one. They are so incredibly nurturing and loving, and that's just their job. That's what they are, pure love, just pure love. So,
yeah, you bring the belief into reality when you share information like this with a tier, and I know how many people appreciate it. I know you did a reading for somebody the other day, best girlfriend, and the woman was so angry all the time. I don't know what you did during your reading, but she called her friend afterwards in tears, saying for the first time in her life, she felt the burden had been lifted, that she was lighter. And the friend that I talked to said that she was amazed at the change in her friend. It was almost like even her voice had changed.
Well, you know, I'm just a telephone. Spirit does all the work. But, you know, people are, when they're ready to have a breakthrough, that's the other thing I think people need to know, that when you are ready for something or to facilitate change in your life, you know, spirit will provide. Sometimes it's a cosmic 2x4, but sometimes it's also just something as simple as a reading and getting a message from spirit that just in an instant, I actually read for a man in California that, he was an incredible, powerful, right brain businessman. And so when I began, I thought, oh, God, Spirit, help me with this one, you know. Because, you know, it's just so foreign to them. There's something about it that sometimes they even, you know, call because they've lost a bet on a golf course, you know. And so they have a reading. So this person was, you know, like, oh, okay, I'm kind of open, but I don't really know what I think, but I'm going to try, you know, I'm a healthy skeptic here. But it profoundly changed his life. And it helped him to give up things that he had worried and felt heavy about all his life. But in that moment, Spirit gave him the key to know it wasn't about what he thought it was about, but it was instead about something totally different that he came in with, an agreement with another soul, and just lifted, you know, a 30, 40-year burden.
I've seen quite a few people over the years that you've read for this, and it's almost as if they or you or Spirit hits the delete button in their aura, and that heaviness just falls away, and they can see the world clearer in front of them.
Well, I think that truly, sometimes, you know, we carry our baggage so long that finally something, you know, we get that we don't need to take it. We don't need to take it any further. I think that sometimes we just get caught up in that human playing the tape, you know, over and over and over. Mary Ellen, share about your experience with your tear-stained angel, because I think it's so amazing how that happened.
Well, first, you can see angels, and so I'm really jealous of that. And what happened is when I was working on my first book, Expect Miracles, I knew that the book was going to be very, very public and out there. I think it sold 35,000 copies, something like that. And it was overwhelming to me, and I worked really late into the night. And thinking, wow, if I have all these stories, why don't I get to see them like you do? And I went to bed, and I came down in the morning. Oh, no, I got off the computer at like 11 o'clock at night, and I didn't have my glasses on. My eyes were tired from looking at the computer at 7 in the morning. And I poured some herbal tea, and I missed the cup, and some of it spilled on the stove. I was too tired. I didn't care. I just left it. I took my cold tea up to bed because I'd made it, I think, at 5 o'clock that afternoon. And when I came down in the morning, there on the stove was a tea-stained angel. The tea had evaporated, leaving a perfect outline of an angel. She was actually holding a book. It had sparkles around it. She had her right hand pointing to it, like her index finger pointing at it. She had flowing hair, a ruffle on her dress. She had on a halo, It was incredible. And a newspaper came and took a picture of it, and we've actually posted it on the website.
See, so that's what I'm saying. Most people might not have even, you know, they would have talked themselves out of that that was an angel, you know. And that's when we discount our angels, and we should really not do that. It's important.
Well, you asked the angels about it because I phoned you. I was in Gig Harbor. You were in Seattle, and it's like an hour drive. And they told you that because of my hard work, because I don't see angels, makes my belief stronger in a sense that I carry on believing in them, and that this was a gift to let them know they were still present in my life.
That's what I said. They will use every means in the universe to help us to believe. And it's important. You know, faith is a very hard thing. I think, you know, why one person keeps believing even though they're challenged and another doesn't, I'm not sure. But, you know, if you talk to children from the time they can talk to about 5 or 6, they have absolutely an incredible faith in angels and their invisible friends, things like that, because it's a natural thing to have that. And I really think it's the innocence of that. You know, when you are innocent and you don't know that there's a limit to any possibilities, you don't limit yourself, so therefore you experience everything with an open mind. And that's one thing that's so exciting about these new Indigo and Crystal kids is that they're not going to lose their faith so easily. In fact, they're going to be very stubborn and fight for it.
Well, I remember the first time that I brought my daughter to your house. I think she was 8 years old at the time. And your back was hurting you. And so my daughter Ariel and I were doing some yard work just to help you out because I loved you. And my daughter had to use the washroom, and you were sitting inside at the kitchen table. And then my daughter comes out, and she goes, and you were all by yourself in the house. And my daughter says, Mommy, who's that man that talks? And then Auntie Atira says the same thing that he does. And at that moment, I knew that you were a clear, direct channel in hearing spirit, because she heard it word for word, and you repeated it word for word, and you didn't put your ego in the way. And at that moment, I knew the depth of your integrity.
What I love about, one thing I love about your daughter that's amazing when she was younger, too, is she used to go shopping with you. Tell us about that. I love this story.
I'd take her into Safeway, and I'd go reach for a bread. She'd go, no, Mommy, that has black energy. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Then she'd reach one, and she says, this has green energy. Then I'd reach for some apples, and she goes, no, Mommy, that has brown energy. She says, these apples over here have greener energy. And then I remember once we were at McDonald's, and she says, oh, you shouldn't eat the food. She said, it doesn't have good energy. It's gray. Then she took her little hands over and held it in like a Reiki praying position and said, go ahead and eat it. It's green now, Mommy.
See, out of the mouths of babes. And that's really what it's like for me. It is like that. You know, actually, often when I'm with Mary Ellen, because Mary Ellen is like, absolutely the end to the most, I mean, that she could ever have cancer is unreal, because this woman is like the vegetarian, you know, naturopathic guru here. And sometimes when we're together, we'll go to a health food store, and I will just kind of go put my palm flat and run down the deal and see where it gets warm or where it gets the most green energy, and then I hold it against Mary Ellen's energy and see if it changes it. And if it is, it's the right thing for her.
Oh, it's so frustrating. I have all this herbal knowledge and homeopathic knowledge. And you go, no, no, it's this bottle over here. Well, that's how you found Cellfort, which is the bottle that helps cellular enhancement for people with cancer. And your angel pointed it out in a store. I had no clue what it was. You had no clue what it was.
It sure profoundly changed your life.
Mm-hmm. And we helped share Cellfort with enzymatic therapy with a lot of people, too. To help strengthen their system.
It's very important to know that, you know, it's not just a Atira that can do this. When you develop the information working with your angels, you'll start to just know things and do things. And the more you just trust, you know, and keep asking. I'm not saying don't do your homework, but I'm also saying that I really want you to know that what I'm talking about today, Mary Ellen and I are talking about today, is normal for me, but it can be normal for other people. I know that other clairvoyants, and I know that actually some of my students have really started to develop having the same kind of connection and getting information. In fact, one of my students, I was really proud of her, she she said, well, I woo-wooed my car. And I said, excuse me? And she goes, yeah, I went over and I just knew which one was the right one. I drove them and everything. And I told the guy what was wrong with the one car, and she was buying a used car, and what was wrong with the, you know, the other car, everything. And he looked at me and he thought I was nuts. Goes in, got whatever it is that they have on the cars, and he said, oh my God, you're right, that one did have some such and such changed on it, and this one over here did have that, and he says, that's spooky. And she was so excited, she couldn't wait to tell me, well, I wooed my car, I know this is a good car, my angels helped me with it, I know I got the right car. So it works on a lot of things. The more you practice, the more it becomes just your natural.
You know, it's like the first time you try to cook your eggs, they don't necessarily work out, but over the next few years, you're not even paying attention. You just seem to know and get called for it. And then the same thing with the angels, the more you talk to them, and because that's what you've taught me and other people to do, is to be in direct communication at all time, and it makes that channel stronger and stronger.
Right. I think it's important that what you just said, direct communication, you know, it's important to treat them like your best friend. You don't just call your best friend sometimes. Most of the time you call your best friend once a day or three times a day if it's Mary Ellen and I. But truly, you know, you don't just call them once a month and call it good, because you wouldn't know what's going on in that person's life, nor will the angels. The angels will know what's going on in your life, but they can't intervene. They can't. They absolutely follow that free will, and they won't run your life. And please know that angel communication does not delete God, Goddess, all that is, insert your favorite deity. You know, that's still important.
Well, there's a reason they're called the messengers.
For a reason. They are the messengers. And you can ask them to do anything. If you want a parking place, ask for help. If you want help with legal matters, whatever it is, ask. And now you still have to do your part. You still have to show up. You still have to participate. But certainly things will flow. They put that energy, that vibration into things, and things flow easier and smoother when you're working with your angels or your guides, masters.
Well, Natira, I'd also like to say is because I can't see mine, it's as if in my heart center there's a tug to move me forward, or a pull, or an idea to call somebody that's strong, and it will not go away. It'll keep repeating itself in my brain until I phone. And I remember I called somebody. Oh, I just met her. And I was working my book at Christmas Filled with Miracles. It was 10 o'clock at night, and it was like, call Mary. And I'm like, I can't call her. And I reasoned my way out of it, because you don't call almost a total stranger who's only contacted you once at 10 o'clock at night. And then at 10:15, it was, call Mary. I'm like, I can't. Now it's later. I can't. At 10:25, the call was so strong, I couldn't resist. So I called her up, and I said, Mary, I'm sorry for calling you so late. I don't usually call people this late. But and then she interrupted me. She said, I'm so glad you did. I was ready to commit suicide.
Yeah, I think that's really one thing that you have learned over the years, especially with me, is that, you know, don't ignore those really urgent little tugs, because it's so important. It's so important.
And that's how the angels move through.
They literally save lives.
Mm-hmm. That's how they move through you.
Yes, that's true. It's not like Edgar Casey says, it's not always a full-blown manifestation. You know, really, most of the time anymore for me, the angels, I don't make them, you know, make a physical appearance. I hear them, I sense them, I know, I hear it in my head, because it takes more energy for them to expand their energy to do that, and I don't think I have to have that kind of proof anymore, you know. I can just know, I'll just know something, and that's how it will work for you, and you'll just know. It's a very different thing. When you start hearing them, it's a very different voice in your head than your mind talk, and I can't explain it any other way. Because until you experience it, it's hard to explain to somebody. But just like, you know, Mary Ellen's voice is different than my voice, and other voices, Dawn's voice is different than my voice. It's that way. You will get a sense of your angel's voice, and the way they talk and the way they use words is very different than us, because they don't use, you know, the English version all the time. It'll be kind of, words will be in out of order places sometimes. But you'll have a knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt.
You know, the other thing is about naming your angels. They really don't care what you call them as long as you talk to them. And a lot of times it's your favorite name. When you were a child, it's the favorite name that surrounded you. That's your angel's name.
Angels and guides, often you will find when I go to give a person their, you know, because I ask them, because I, it comes in sounds and tones, so I ask them to write in English because that's what I speak. And often when I give a person their, you know, angel name or their guide's name, they go, oh, I used to call all my dolls that, or I used to call my dog that, or oh, my invisible friend was named that. And so it's like very, very common that you know, are connected to that name already in some spiritual way from your childhood. So it's true that often the name will be something that's repeating your life.
And could you clear up the wing mystery? Do angels have wings, or are they glowing orbs, or what do you
see? Well, actually, I addressed that last show, but I certainly will clarify again. And it's really our humanistic need to see the wings. They really are an energy form. However, because we have connected wings with angels through art, through literature, through sculpting, they now have manifest that. But really, in the original form, it was their auric field that was illuminated, and that's one of the reasons we see a halo. It's that illumination of their energy field. But because it's become symbolic to us, and it matters so much to us for us to have confirmation that that's an angel, they now, of course, use it and manifest it in their energy field. And they love it. I think they kind of, you know, consider it a cosmic joke. It's like for them putting on their cosmic overcoat and to give us a symbol of, okay, this is my photo ID. You know, I am an angel. Here's my wings. And you can ask them. And
maybe that's like us wearing angel pins to let people know we're guarded by angels, surrounded by angels, and believe in angels. Theirs is to wear their wings.
So certainly, you know, really, you'll see even in religious, especially in Catholics, you'll see a halo around saints even. And it's because they have raised their vibration so much that they begin to have that glow. They have enhanced their Christ consciousness or their spiritual consciousness, because it's not just limited to Christ, but you will see it in great illuminated arts around any master, Jesus, Buddha, any of the great saints, Padre Pio. You'll see that kind of illuminated golden light behind them, or certainly the symbol of a halo. So it is more a symbolic thing, but it really is an auric field energy thing. And as you work on changing your vibration, you'll begin to glow and have that expandedness. The, you know, average human aura is probably 3 to 5 inches from the body when it should be about 3 feet. But we're so protective in our sense, and so humans do a lot of fear, and so the fear sucks the auric field into our body more. And we really need to be like the child in the bubble, kind of pushing our little auric bubble out a little bit so that we can encompass a larger space and let that energy glow out. And we are out of time. Thank you, Mary Ellen, for calling in and sharing.
I love your show. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for calling in and sharing your angelic adventures with us.
You're welcome, and I'll let you close off your show. Goodbye to all your listeners.
Thanks. Thank you so much for listening and opening your heart and mind to the possibilities of angels, guides, and masters. Please remember to let your light shine and to light your way and the way for others. Have an incredible experience. Trust and know that you are never alone, that your angels are always with you, and have a wonderful, incredible life adventure.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.